Buddy Epson. that's Jethro. I mean, that's Buddy Epson is the guy who played Jed from the Beverly Hillbillies. Jed Clampett. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Don't see him much in military movies. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, the nuclear plant that Dave was talking about the other day that seems to be at the center of what is scaring the bejesus out of the rest of the world. Are you fearful that, I mean, they both sides know, and the world knows.
Well, I mean,
are you fearful that there can be something can happen?
Well, I think what they're fearful is that, I mean, there's two different versions of what's going on. The Ukrainian version is that the Russians are using it as a safe harbor, place to hide and to have artillery fired from, so that it can have a safe harbor where it can't be fired at without endangering the safety of the nuclear plant. And it is true that the unbridled fission of a nuclear plant, were it all to break and were they unable to stop it, you could have a meltdown. You could have a serious radiation leakage from it. And so I think what they're worried about is that somehow the warfare could leak from it, whether it's the Ukrainian version or the Russian version, which is that the Ukrainians are shelling it. Presumably they'd be shelling it because there are Russians there. So, you know, the UN and the rest of the world wants to demilitarize that area, make it devoid of any military targets so that it would be off limits then for the danger that would be experienced by from artillery or rockets.
Well, both sides know. I mean, Russia is right there. Any fallout or from that certainly can cause mayhem and havoc in Russia. I mean,
Well, I think it endangers. Well, they're apt to be careful, but in warfare in particular, efforts to be surgically precise can fail, right? So you could decide you have a surgically precise rocket, you're going to send it in to knock out that artillery or whatever it is that's at the Zaporizhzhia power plant. That might have been the right way to say it. And then it misses, you know, and it instead of striking the artillery, it causes damage to the plant that in turn causes leakage. I mean, I think it's legit to worry about nuclear plants in the context of warfare. I think it's interesting because long ago I was involved with trying to get approval for nuclear plants in Wisconsin, and a fellow named David Comey appeared, and his testimony at the time was that the safety of nuclear plants, all the probabilities of loss and risk and everything, weren't taking into account sabotage and warfare, and everyone laughed and poo-pooed at that, and now here we have it, you know. And the fact is that, is it safe to have a power center, an electric power center, that isn't safe during warfare when it appears that warfare is a periodic risk for mankind? You know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's an aside. I think it's a legitimate fear, and I think that steps are being taken, but I think that having large nuclear installations in a place where war can happen does put the locality and the region at risk of radiation.
You know, what I don't and never will understand, Sandy, is you and I are at war. You're trying to destroy us. I'm trying to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it is, so all of a sudden we're gonna have some common sense when there's no common sense at all involved in what's going on with this war, one ready to slaughter the other, and now all of a sudden we're going to...
Well, you know, it isn't quite like that. War isn't done totally helter-skelter, recklessly, because each of them... For instance, Ukraine wants to get aid from the United States, and we've said, we'll give you rockets, but you cannot fire them at Russia.
Right.
And I think that they will, until they become totally both reckless and desperate, they will abide by that because they want to keep getting rockets from us. And the whole grain leaving being exported from Ukraine and Russia facilitating that has to do with both Russia and Ukraine wanting to maintain relations with the rest of the world that don't shut them off entirely from the kind of support
and, they might and want. Both needing the financial resources.
Yeah, and both of them need the rest of the world in spite of the statements to the contrary. Russia needs to have access through the Bosporus Straits into the Mediterranean and the Atlantic, and they need Turkey for that. So that if they enrage Turkey, that they've got a problem.
You know, Sandy, it's when did this start? In February?
February, yeah. February 24th,
okay.
I believe.
There's been a lot of destruction in that time in Ukraine and very little, if any, in Russia. And I don't know how, you know, you look at you.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it looks like that's another situation where there's an attempt at rationality overriding warfare, because Russia has basically announced that it would be a red line for Ukraine to attack Russia proper when here it is Russia that's attacked Ukraine. But Ukraine seems to basically be abiding by it and is very carefully only attacked several military objectives very close to their border. And maybe that distance is limited by the ability of their weaponry to get into Russia and to attack portions of Russia. But the United States has probably also made it very clear to Ukraine that they don't want to inflame Russia by putting Russia's back up against the wall in a manner that would cause Russia to take a broader view of who their enemy is in this war.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.